This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining me. We are going to get back to a lot of these topics. We have some great sound from the committees on the hearings on abortion that are happening right now in the House. And we also have a lot to discuss in regards to a few stories coming out of New York City. We have some sound to get to, a trip down memory lane, which I've been teasing for the last 2 hours, which I promise I will play for you very shortly. And if you're on the line right now, stay on the line because I'm going to take all these calls just a little bit later in the show. But I'm excited about our next guest. You all know him very well. Chairman of the Massachusetts Republican Party, Jim Lyons, joins the show now. Jim, thank you so much for coming on.
Grace, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Now, Jim, the Massachusetts Republican nominating convention is taking place Saturday, May 21st, and it's beginning at 9 a.m. Give people a little rundown about what this is and how they can get involved.
So, as you said, this Saturday we're having our convention to nominate our statewide officers. And the early part of the program is going to be, we have some national speakers that are going to be speaking to the convention. First one is going to be Congressman Byron Donalds. He's a congressman from Florida, a member of the Freedom Caucus in the House. The second speaker will be a gentleman named Tom Homan, who is the former acting ICE director under President Trump. And finally, we have a pro-life speaker, David B. Wright, who is the founder of 40 Days for Life. So we're going to get the convention kicked off with people who basically are representing the types of issues that are right now important to Americans. Number one, of course, the immigration issue, what's happening at the border and illegal immigration and what it's doing to our state. And the congressman is an interesting story. He's one of the few African Americans that have been blocked from being brought into the Black Caucus. They said that he couldn't come in. So we're really looking forward to it. We're talking about issues that resonate with the people of Massachusetts. Unlike the Democrats, we believe that there should be some normalcy in America, and as opposed to the radical left agenda of what I call the lunatics on the left.
Yeah, and it's a perfect time to hear from Tom Homan. As you pointed out, he is the former acting director of ICE, and he's on Fox News a lot talking about the catastrophe we have at the border right now. I think I actually saw him earlier today here at the studio. I saw him on my TV. But Representative Byron Donalds, he is constantly speaking out about a lot of issues that are important to the Republicans right now. And also, I think he had a really great head-to-head with Chris Cuomo at one point, Fredo Cuomo, who we don't hear from anymore. So these are some great speakers, Jim. Where can people sign up if they want to see this stuff happen?
So they can go to the massgop.com, to our website. There's a link guest button that they can pay a guest fee. It's to get to the convention. We'd love people to come that day. We had over 2,700 delegates elected statewide. We've got, over 2,000 people already attending. So we're really encouraging people to come to Springfield. It's going to be a great event. We've also got, a couple of races, the governor's race and the lieutenant governor's race. It's going to be very exciting between the two candidates for both offices. And we're really looking forward to a really, really big event. So these folks that will come will hopefully get involved in the elections moving into November, because we're seeing how crazy the people are on Beacon Hill. We're seeing a microcosm of what's happening nationally in Massachusetts. As you see, the radical left is just banging away at their craziness, and we're going to try to offset that in November.
Yeah, I'm speaking with Jim Lyons, the chairman of the Massachusetts Republican Party, and you just hit on a couple of things, Jim, but I would love to ask you, because a lot of people ask me this question, I'm sure you get it more than I do. When you talk to people, when you talk to Massachusetts residents, what is the number one issue that people approach you about and that's really lighting a fire? Because it does feel like people right now in 2022 are getting more involved than they ever have before. What do you think it is that's lighting that fire for people and getting them to participate in what's happening?
Well, I think there's three things. One is inflation. People see government spending absolutely out of control, and they recognize that that's because of the policies of the radical left and the Biden administration. And we've seen that for years on Beacon Hill. You know, the second issue is immigration. People are really concerned about immigration and the impact it's going to have in our country and in our state. And the third one is indoctrination of our kids. Our children are being indoctrinated by the left, and Parents are getting involved like nothing I've ever seen, where we see parents who are concerned about what the schools are teaching our kids. I mean, Grace, gender transitioning in the third grade? I mean, how crazy can you be? Yet that's exactly the type of activities that are going on in our schools in Massachusetts. And the only way it's going to change is if parents realize that it is the Democrats on Beacon Hill that are doing this. The Democrats have held supermajorities for years. Those are the folks that are ramming these ideas down the throats of our children. And if we want to protect our children, we have to elect Republicans. The Democrats are controlled by the radical left in Massachusetts. And those are the three issues as I see it: inflation, indoctrination, and immigration. And we need people to really get involved. You can no longer leave it to others. They have to get off the couch, leave the puppies, and get involved in the race.
I totally agree. Tell people one more time where they can go if they want to get involved, if they want to partake on Saturday.
MassGOP.com. Go to our website, click the button, and Grace, we really appreciate your help.
We appreciate everything you do, Chairman. We really do. Thank you for coming on the show. You're always welcome. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this abortion debate, because if people haven't heard, according to Axios, there was a leaked memo, and the leaked memo was from the Department of Homeland Security, and it reportedly details ongoing investigations into threats to burn down or storm the Supreme Court building. As long as any of those people who decide to storm or burn down the Supreme Court building do not have Lego sets at their houses, I'm sure they will be okay. But the threats against the court arose last month after a draft majority opinion overturning Roe versus Wade leaked to the press. And I think that this entire catastrophe, this chaos that has ensued, is actually backfiring on Democrats. I'm going to explain why when we come back. But before we go, I had teased this a lot. We might as well get it out of the way now. Jim Lyons just said the three main issues. And one of them he mentioned was immigration. And now the left is trying to conflate immigration and Republicans' concern over open borders with this radical, nutty replacement theory. And the two are not similar. They're not the same thing. And in fact, if anyone has been spreading dangerous talk about this, it would be Democrats. And in fact, I just want to play. Can we have a little trip down memory lane, Jared, please?
But I had forgot the past, and now I'm slipping fast. Oh, back down memory lane.
A lot of different conservative outlets are putting together supercuts of Democrats in media spreading a replacement theory, but one that I don't think is getting nearly enough attention was by Terry McAuliffe. Terry McAuliffe said so many stupid things during his campaign race that some of them get overlooked. It's hard to decide when you say such ridiculous things. But take a listen to this. This is cut four.
It's going to be here before we know it. And as everyone mentioned, first of all, 10.5% of the population is very significant. Now, let me give you some advice. Get busy. Get yourself to 11 relatively quickly. Y'all. There you go. I like to see all the kids here.
I've done my part.
But that's very important. And it's been nice to listen.
Get busy. Get yourself to 11% of the population. What he's implying there is that the 11% is going to be voting Democrat. Is that too much of an assumption for me to make?
Mrs. Krabappel and Principal Skinner were in the closet making babies, and I saw one of the babies, and the baby looked at me.
Terry McAuliffe was a terrible candidate. How did he lose? How did he lose? It is so unfair.
He didn't go hard enough at Trump. I think that was his mistake.
Yeah, he didn't use the Trump card enough. All right, when we come back, we're going to play some really unbelievable cuts from these hearings on abortion. You will understand now why the Democrats don't want to get into the details of this. Remember that clip of Beto where he was on The View and they asked him about limits on abortion and he immediately pivoted and said, I think we should really just stick with Roe versus Wade, the rules in Roe versus Wade, like all that all looks good to me. And Stephen Miller said, This is what it's all about. This is why they're setting their hair on fire, because they don't want to answer that question. And for the longest time, when I was growing up, abortion was the topic that Republicans always lost on, you know, because I remember thinking, oh, why does this have to, like, I'd want to, you know, I was in political discussion class and I'd want to talk about, I don't even know. I was like 15, so who knows what I wanted to talk about. But you want to talk about taxes. You want to talk about all crime. You want to talk about all these things. And the only thing that the liberals in the class wanted to talk about was abortion. And I, even as a, like, I didn't really know. I didn't really know what my opinion was on it just yet. But I knew that whenever that topic came up, that it was the left that ended up faring better with voters. You know, it was the left that was more reasonable to young voters of America. That is no longer the case. I actually think this is backfiring in a big way, because now the group that seems more extreme is the group that can't say that there should be limits on abortion. They can't say it. They will not say that they think, oh, well, when a baby's 8 months in it, or when a baby's 8 months along, you shouldn't be able to kill the baby. They can't say that. Their hands are tied in that sense. And so it was whoever was going to go more extreme on this. And it's so clearly now the Democrats. And when I play this sound for you, you'll understand. But I'm starting to think this might end up being a winning argument for Republicans, which is that I've never felt that way in my lifetime. 844-500-4242. We'll play that for you. And also, one of the callers, he dropped off now because it's been a while since he was on the line. But he was telling me about a story out of New York City. I think people are really going to love. It's insane. Guess what they're spending money on now? 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls when we come back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Before we play some of these clips for you, which are really something else, I mean, I think these people who came in, these doctors and these pro-choice advocates, thought they were going to hit this out of the park, and they bombed big time. It was not good. Today's poll question
is... This is a house of learned doctors.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. So get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3. Jared, what's the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Do you think the Disinformation Governance Board is gone for good?
No, I do not. Although we should say that supercalifragilisticexpialidocious Nina Jankowicz has resigned. Is that correct? She's officially...
According to Taylor Lorenz, who first broke the story of Republicans pouncing and coordinating their weaponizing upon... this poor woman who only wanted to serve.
What are you, a biologist? How do you know what she identified identifies as. Yeah, there was a lot of weaponizing today in the New York Times, right?
64% of the audience agrees with you that. No, we have not heard the last.
The New York Times writes, the right weaponizes America against itself. What else do we have here? Yahoo, Biden disinformation czar Nina Jankowicz, critical race theory, a sign of Republicans weaponizing emotions. How the right weaponized free speech, how conservatives weaponized the First Amendment, how right-wing extremists weaponized the idea of motherhood. So much weaponizing, so little time. 844-500-4242. Ed, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Grace. Thanks a lot for taking my call. So back in the 20s, my grandmother was raped by her uncle, and she had my mother. She did not abort her, and my mother had me, and then I've had two boys. One is a PhD scientist that is developing 3D technology in the nanosphere, and my other one is flying helicopters for the Coast Guard, and he helped rescue the 13 people up on Lake Erie this winter. So I just, you know, there's always consequences to every action that you have, and to top it off, my 5.5-month-old daughter that was 5.5 months along died in my arms. So she was big size at 5.5 months.
Wow, Ed, thank you so much for sharing all of those different stories. It's amazing how one person can be so impacted by this topic. And I think we all are just inherently, we're all affected by this topic, even if it's not something that you feel comfortable discussing. It's always wonderful to get a different perspective. I love when callers weigh in with stuff like that, because you don't hear enough about that side of the story. And although there's tragedy intertwined in it, it's powerful nonetheless. And because you just talked about that, I think it's a good time to go into some of these cuts here. So a lot of Republicans, including Mike Johnson and Chip Roy, were asking difficult questions. And I want to start with this question from Representative Chip Roy. He's talking to an abortion doctor, and he just really wants to get to the reality of what's happening during this procedure. The doctor seems to struggle with that. Cut 19.
Have you performed abortions at that stage? And in doing so, have you had baby parts that you've had to discard or store in some capacity?
One of the things that you all have done throughout this hearing is just use inflammatory language.
It's a question. Ma'am, it's a simple question. Have you had human parts, baby parts, arms, legs, as a result of an abortion performed at the time you just acknowledged you performed abortions?
I am a physician and a proud abortion provider. There is nothing that you can say.
Yes or no.
Makes it difficult to talk about the care that I provide.
Right. So have there been baby parts? Yes or no?
If you would like for me to talk
and
to you
where and how have they been stored?
An abortion for patients who need care.
So the answer to the question is fairly obvious.
Gestational age, I'm happy
that there are baby parts, and you don't want to talk about how they're being stored. You don't want to talk about putting them in freezers. You don't want to talk about putting them in Pyrex dishes. You want to talk about the videos that we have from Planned Parenthood Coast, Gulf Coast in Houston, Texas. You don't want to talk about the reality of what actually happened.
The gentleman's time has expired.
If you don't mind me answering.
Well, he gave you the opportunity to answer. It's kind of a yes or no. See, I love
how their time always expires.
I love a yes or no. I love a yes or no. But the only tip I'd give to Republicans is just keep saying yes or no, yes or no, yes or no. You can't say that enough because they can't answer yes or no. They can't. And that tells you everything you need to know. When we come back, Representative Mike Johnson, with perhaps an even crazier cut than that, if you can believe it, we'll take your calls on this topic. And we got an update from New York City, 844-500-4242.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right, so there are Judiciary Committee hearings right now on abortion, and there's actually a lot of very interesting clips coming out of it that I want to play here before we move on. Representative Mike Johnson was talking to Amy Arambide, and she is, I think she's an abortion advocate. I was looking at her Twitter profile, and I'll pull it up here so we can get the exact definition of her title. But Amy was asked about, you know, where, and this is the question that a lot of people who support abortion don't want to answer, which is where is the line? I remember a couple of days ago, do we have the Joe Rogan cut from a couple of weeks ago, Jared? And I'm sorry to throw this at you last minute. He was having a conversation with a guest where he said, it is an important question. Where is the line? And I remember the guest said something like, well, what was your favorite memory from being in the womb? And he said, well, that doesn't really make sense either, because what was your favorite memory from being 3 years old? Doesn't mean I should be able to kill you because you can't remember things when you're three. And this question of where the line is one that no one on the left wants to answer. Or it's, her name is Amy Arambide, and she is, this is her profile on Twitter, Texan, she, her, at abortion stories, storyteller, repro action advisory council, Equality Texas board, views are my own. All right, so let's first take this question here. Representative Mike Johnson is asking Amy, when does she draw the line as far as abortions go? Can I have cut 18, please, Jared?
So abortion should be allowed then, by your definition, for any reason, for any purpose, at any stage, right?
I trust people to make decisions about their body, and then when relevant, I think that they need to consult their medical practitioners.
Okay.
And not
if it is, listen, let me just ask you this question. If it is not lawful and morally acceptable to take the life of a 10-year-old child, I assume you agree with that, right? That would be wrong, correct?
I believe that.
Okay.
That
is and wrong. A 2-year-old child, same thing. That would be murder. We would all agree that's wrong.
Pause it there, because we're going to end up playing this cut more than once. I can already tell. You know what I'm going to say about this cut, Jared? It took too long, that answer. The pause was a little bit too long for me. You know, this isn't something where you gotta put together in your head, what do I think about this? You know,
carefully parse your words.
It wasn't a trick question. It really wasn't a trick question. And she took a beat there before responding. And I could feel the hesitance in that pause. The pause was just a tad bit too long for my comfort zone for such a basic question. Would you agree?
Absolutely. If you got to wait that long, the answer is not one that you want to give.
And you know what? If I'm in charge of Republicans, if I'm like heading up the Republican Party right now, if I'm the coach in the locker room after the Republicans go out there and grandstand and they come back for halftime and I have to give them a pep talk, I just said it before. I'm going to say it again, though. Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no? Keep asking yes or no. Just keep doing it. The liberals have no problem doing that. When they think they have a good question, they will drill down on yes or no, no matter how obnoxious it sounds. Kamala Harris did it to Brett Kavanaugh. Her question sucked, and she had no problem doing it. Her question didn't even make sense, and she had no problem dropping the yes or no. These are good questions. These are basic questions. I don't need your life story when I say, do you think it's wrong to kill a 10-year-old? That's a yes or no. These long pauses are baffling to me. Let's take that cut again. It's at least a 2-second pause. Go ahead.
So abortion should be allowed then, by your definition, for any reason, for any purpose, at any stage, right?
I trust people to make decisions about their body. And then when relevant, I think that they need to consult their medical practitioners.
Okay.
And not Congress. If it is,
listen.
I'm sorry to do this again. I know. I know. I'm bad here. But I got to say one more thing. The up-talking, all of these people.
I trust people to do what they want to do with their bodies. And then when necessary, talk to their practitioner.
I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying it's a real common thread here with liberals where every person's up-talking, including the vice president. Continue.
Let me just ask you this question. If it is not lawful and morally acceptable to take the life of a 10-year-old child, I assume you agree with that, right? That would be wrong, correct?
I believe that.
Okay.
That is
and
wrong.
A 2-year-old child, same thing. That would be murder. We would all agree that's wrong. Then what is the principal distinction between the human being that is 2 years old or 9 months old or 1 week old or an hour old than one that is 8 inches further up the birth canal in the utero? What's the difference? Why is it okay in the latter case and not the former cases?
I trust people to determine what to do with their own bodies.
Wow.
Full stop.
Full stop. It's like talking to woke robots. Full stop. They just repeat and repeat. It's like talking to a woke brick wall. They're not going to veer from the talking points, no matter how stupid the talking points are, no matter how ridiculous they end up looking. They will not veer. My only issue with the with Representative Mike Johnson's questions there is when he talks about the 10-year-old, like you wouldn't, it would be wrong to kill a 10-year-old, he gives her way too much credit by saying, I assume you think that would be wrong, correct? It's too much credit. You can't, don't assume anything with liberals. Make her answer that one. That's one question on its own. Do you think that is wrong, yes or no? Then you go to the next part. But to say, well, I assume we're all on the same page about this, why do you assume that? Let's get her on record to make sure where she stands on killing children. Because based off those pauses, I'm not so sure. And just in case you're not fully convinced yet that Miss Amy Arambide is totally disconnected from reality, this was a question from Representative Dan Bishop.
What do you say a woman is?
I believe that everyone can identify for themselves.
Okay. Do you believe then that men can become pregnant and have abortions?
Yes.
No further questions, Your Honor. I rest my case. Thank you.
You have to listen to her talk like this? You know, where everything has a question mark at the end of it? With an upward inflection at the end of every sentence?
There are a lot of I rest my case moments with liberals, and that was just one of them. No further questions.
Full stop.
Full stop. Full stop on the questions. We've seen enough. We understand now what we're dealing with. We do not have a shared reality, as Brian Stelter might say. This party has gotten out of control. There are no rules at this party anymore. Just crazy. By the way, we found that old...
That's the truth.
We found that old Joe Rogan cut. I want to play it for people. I never played this way back when, but I think the more I discuss this issue, I keep going back to this.
You know, it's just... I just don't like... You know, I don't like people telling other people what they can and can't do, but it gets weird when the baby gets like 6 months old. You know, it gets weird when they're really, really pregnant, because in some states, for the longest, I don't know what the rules are now, but I know that some states had late-term abortions. And sometimes you need one for medical reasons, right? Like, the woman could die if she gives birth. Like, it's a decision that people have to make.
Well, if you look back, what was your favorite part of being a fetus?
Ah! Well, what was your favorite part of being three? You know, should I be able to shoot you at three because I don't want to take care of you anymore? It's one of those things. It's like, I am 100% for a woman's right to choose. But as a human being, just as a person observing things, there's a big difference between a little clump of cells and a fetus with an eyeball and a beating heart. And for anybody to pretend there's not, it's you're not doing any
argument.
But
where do you draw the line?
Right, where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the question. And it's what I call a human issue. It's a very complicated issue. It's so
But where do you draw the line is a question that one side can answer and one can't. And it's a question that one side of this debate has been pretty consistent on since the beginning, and one side is gradually changing as they go. And that's the real crux of the issue, is that one side is going further and further to an extreme and the other side's the same. Joe Biden can say whatever he wants. It's not my grandfather. It's not Ambrose Finnegan's Republican Party. But the Republicans have been the same on this for forever. It's the Democrats who have been shifting. Believe it or not, something Joe Biden told you was not true. All right, can I get a little bit of funky music? I have an update on what's happening in New York, New York.
Start spreading the news.
All right, I have two updates for you from New York. The first one, which a caller, who I want to thank this caller for alerting me to this exciting, exciting update. MTA's new stairs in Times Square subway station cost $30 million. The 28 shiny steps debuted Monday as part of an overhaul of the bustling Times Square subway station. They replace a stairwell near 43rd Street and Broadway that used to cramp riders into a narrow passage. Not anymore. $30 million later, and those 28 steps are going to be a lot more
enjoyable. America is back.
Amazing, though. They, you know, the cameras in the subway, as we saw with the subway shooting, did not work. They don't want any security in these subways, but they can spend $30 million on 28 steps. I like how it's not
just... You got to do something with that COVID money.
I like how, Jared, though, it's not just 28 steps. It's 28 shiny steps. These are fancy steps. MTA officials...
Be able to clean the trash off easily.
MTA officials said, yeah, it's just going to slip right off.
Yeah.
The cost of the stairs includes the price of the art installation. Art installation.
Is this art in concentric circles from a straw?
It says the new entrance provides direct access to Times Square, which some people call the center of the world. The new entryway is 15 feet wide and adorned with a mosaic installation designed by Chicago-based artist Nick Cave. For example, the 1.6-mile extension of the 2nd Avenue subway is projected to cost $6.3 billion. Oh, so compared to that, this is you're getting a deal. This is a bargain. That breaks down to $3.9 billion per mile. Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. And lastly, remember when Andrew Cuomo, former ex-governor Andrew Cuomo, was... the face of, you know, just, he was the president, actually. What am I saying? The face of. He was.
The love gov.
He was the love gov. He was America's boyfriend. And he would give his COVID-19 updates every day. And, you know, the people from Vogue and Vanity Fair, they'd all drool over him because he was such a hunk. You know, I'm a Cuomo-sexual. That's what they would all say. Well, one of the things that he didn't just stand in front of like these art installations of masks that could have probably been used for something, but instead they just were behind him in like a paper mache mold. He didn't just do that. He also was big into the hand sanitizer. This was one of his passions, was they were making hand sanitizer and it was changing the world.
It has a very nice floral bouquet. A little, I detect a lilac, hydrangea, tulips. What does it smell like to you? Tulips, yes. Floral bouquet.
The floral bouquet. What a wonderful thing that he did. Well, New York made 11 million bottles of NYS clean hand sanitizer. Now it has 700,000. Now it has 700,000 gallons it can't get rid of. All of that in the distance is hand sanitizer. It's a photo. You know what it looks like? It looks like when they had the cases of water in Puerto Rico, that the Trump administration made sure they had all this water and the government in Puerto Rico just forgot to hand it out. It looks like that, but it's actually hand sanitizer.
Legoland, Legoland, Legoland.
4,000 pallets of it. You know what they should do if they're trying to get this stuff to move? I know it's not as high in demand now, the hand sanitizer, but if they're trying to get this stuff to move, what they need to do is they need to get Cuomo to sign it. You know, people love an autograph. Trust me, I work with Howie Carr. You put your name on something, it goes up in value. You get a couple LoveGov signatures on there, this stuff's going to go flying off the shelves as fast as his book. Or maybe if you really wanted to sell like his book, put it in the 50% off bin. You gotta, these are tricks of the trade.
You get a 30-gallon drum of hand sanitizer with every purchase of My Dad's Bridge or whatever his book's called.
Hey, Jared, it's got a lovely fragrance of lilac and hydrangea.
Tulips, yes.
Tulips. What do you think it smells
like? I do on occasion say Ciao Bella.
Maybe this is what we should call it. Forget NYS Clean. We gotta call this Ciao Bella. A scent. By Andrew Cuomo. All right, we will be back with the captain. Don't go anywhere. Oh, but before we go, Jared, let's just announce this really quick. Congratulations. I'm about to announce the winner for the $50 gas money prize. If you want to win this, just go to gracecurlyshow.com. Enter your email. It's simple. It's free. It's fun. And we give this away once a day. Howie also gives it away once a day on his show. So you got a really good chance. The winner today, keep an eye out from store at howiecarshow.com with instructions, is John from Woburn. John.
You won! You did it!
Big congrats, John. If you want to enter to win, go to gracecurlyshow.com. All right, we will be right back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday. Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I don't even have to tell you this. Howie Carr has a wonderful show planned for you. But if you need a tease, we're going to give it to you right now. Howie, you just tweeted something out. It's an interesting story. Let people know what's going on in, it's a local story. It's happening in Boston.
Yes, the new Boston city councilor from Jamaica Plain, West Roxbury area, Kendra Lara, has filed a order for a hearing to discuss doing away with police details in the city of Boston.
Oh, just doing away with them altogether?
No.
Oh.
It would be replaced by a civilian construction details program. And it would benefit people who are likely to be incarcerated due to structural racism, formerly incarcerated people. And people, one of the groups that would be involved in these hearings would be the mayor's office for returning citizens, which is what we, returning citizens is what we used to call jailbirds or ex-cons.
Oh, is this a case of semantics? Are they trying to pull one over on people?
A civilian construction detail office would have a mission of gender and racial justice and equity to employ hundreds of residents most harmed by state violence, over-policing, and mass incarceration. Again,
racism.
Mass incarceration. Again, that means they're jailbirds. They want. So what could possibly go wrong if you, instead of having cop flaggers, which I think we all agree is kind of overdone in many occasions, many ways, but replacing them with ex-cons?
Yeah, I can't imagine the cops are too excited about this update.
No. Residents of Boston have been engaged in a sustained citywide conversation since the murder of Mr. George Floyd and are seeking creative reparative solutions to address generational harm caused by systemic racism.
All right, Howie has this story. He's also going to give you updates on the disinformation board, and we will be back tomorrow with our Friday Junior Show. I'm Grace Curley.